It's not nice to mislead investors. Ask Walgreens and Elon Musk. It's the Business News Hour for Friday, the 28th of September. Thanks for clicking through, everybody. In other business news today, the markets sort of took the day off. It was a meh sort of day. Sears stock today fell below $1 a share, and we'll tell you why that could be a big deal. Facebook says about 50 million users could have been compromised. The GOP voted today to make some tax cuts permanently, but even that didn't do much to boost the markets. In the first interview today, we're going to visit with Neil Blanchard, who finds money for businesses. No, really. Not by investors, but by finding cash left behind. Also today, Jeff Pitts and Parker Reed with Stuff to Do, all from City View Magazine. Stay with us. That business news is coming up next.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby, is made possible through the support of Arion, human resources, payroll, and call center help for businesses. AURION.com. AARP of Iowa. Real possibilities. AARP, Iowa. The Business News Hour, also presented by Tero International, your elite training team at TERO.com. RE/MAX Concepts, with offices in Cedar Rapids, Nevada, Ames, and the greater Des Moines Metro. RealEstateConcepts.net. The Business News is next.
How are organizations investing in their future? Many are choosing to invest in their people in the same way they invest in new equipment, facilities, and IT systems. That is one of the wisest investments you can make. How do you determine training needs? Turn to the award-winning professionals at Tero International for a complimentary needs assessment and gap analysis. Visit Tero.com, that's T-E-R-O.com, to learn more. This is Ro from the Tero team.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby, is made possible through the support of AARP Iowa. Real possibilities for people of every age. AARP Iowa and Country Vet Naturals. Loved by pets, trusted by owners. CountryVetNaturals.com.
Welcome back to the Friday edition of the Business News Hour. I'm your host, Michael Libby. Want to reach out to us on Twitter? It's at IOB_NewsHour. Me personally, you can find me at Michael Libby. Libby is spelled L-I-B-B-I-E. You know, it's not nice to mislead investors. As the SEC hones in on Elon Musk and Tesla stock tanks, today it was Walgreens that had to pay up. Walgreens will pay more than $34 million to resolve a U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission claim that the company's senior leadership failed to adequately disclose risks regarding its ability to reach earnings goals. SEC said today that former CEO Gregory Wasson and former CFO Wade McQuillan misled investors about increased risk that Walgreens could miss a financial target. That's not a good thing. Walgreens and the executives agreed to resolve the SEC's claims without admitting or denying wrongdoing. In addition to the company's penalty, Wasson and McQuillan each agreed to pay fines of $160,000. Meanwhile, over at Tesla, things there are in a bit of a spin. The company's stock took a big dive today as Wall Street worries that a lawsuit from U.S. regulators could force Chief Executive Elon Musk to step down and make it more difficult for the loss-making car company to raise more capital. The U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission yesterday accused Musk of fraud and sought to remove him from his role, saying that he made a series of false and misleading tweets about potentially taking the company private. At least five research firms said Musk might have to resign following the lawsuit. CNBC reported the lawsuit was filed after a proposal settlement with the SEC fell apart. Here's what happened. Musk refused to pay a nominal fine and give up the chairmanship role for 2 years as part of the settlement. Said no, and the SEC said, well, we'll just sue you. Losing Musk would be a major blow to the company and investors who are watching all of this play out, as surely is the board of directors. Speaking of the markets today, the share price of Sears fell to under $1 a share, hitting an all-time low, as the department store chain is running out of time to stay afloat. A large debt payment is hanging over Sears' head next month, and that time is running out. Sears previously disclosed it faces, quote, significantly near-term liquidity constraints, end quote. And that, yeah, is rightfully spooking investors. On top of all that, there's the risk that Sears stock could be delisted Its shares are traded on the NASDAQ, which has a $1 bid price requirement for shares and notifies companies once their stocks trade for 30 days consecutively below that threshold. Now, from there, the companies are typically afforded a compliance period of 180 days to meet NASDAQ's requirements. Again, you can also get perhaps a second 180-day compliance period. But for a little history on all this, Sears shares have fallen by more than 85% over the past 12 months, bringing the retailer's market cap, get this, to less than $110 million. Back in the good old days, shares hit an all-time high of $195.18 in April of 2007. Well, Facebook has discovered a security flaw affecting about 50 million accounts, which could have allowed attackers to take over those accounts. Facebook has since fixed the vulnerability and informed law enforcement. Facebook shares fell today by over 4% to $164.44 in afternoon trading, and that weighed on the major Wall Street indexes all around. The company said about 90 million people will have to log back into Facebook or any of their apps that use a Facebook login. Well, Republicans have sped legislation through the House to expand their massive new tax law, capping their session for the year as they rush out of town to face voters in the November elections. The new bill would make permanent the individual and small business tax cuts in the law. Today's vote was 22-191 in the Republican-led House to approve that legislation. The vote was mostly along party lines. Democrats continued their solid opposition to the tax cut legislation, asserting it favors corporations and wealthy individuals over middle-class Americans. But even that news couldn't boost Wall Street much today, as the major indices had sort of a meh kind of day. The Dow gained fractionally about 18 points to end the week at 26,458. The NASDAQ was up way less than a tenth of a percent to finish at 80,46. And the S&P 500 closed at 29,13, flat for the day. Even at that, the S&P 500 posted its best quarter since the end of 2013, having risen by 7.3%. The NASDAQ was also up by more than 7% in its best one-quarter gain since early 2017. Heading into the fourth quarter, investors will face uncertainty amid a highly anticipated midterm election in November. Democrats are expected to gain a majority in the House as well as an increase in their seat count in the Senate, and that could delay or even thwart the Trump administration's economic agenda. In addition, gains were limited today amid lingering trade tensions, mostly with Canada and China. The U.S. and Canada have not come to an agreement on trade as a September 30th deadline rapidly approaches. The two countries are trying to come to terms so Canada can join a trade deal struck between the U.S. and Mexico that would replace the current North American Free Trade Agreement. Consumer spending, that rose by 0.3% in August, while the Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index, that's the Federal Reserve's preferred measure of inflation, rose by 2% on a year-over-year basis. Gold gained $8.90 to now trade at $1,191.20 an ounce. Oil bumped back up $1.33, or 1.4%, to $73.45 a barrel. Wait, can you say it? Gas price increase. And the 10-year T-note is still over 3% at 3.05 to be exact. When we come back, a conversation with Neil Blanchard from Profit Pros. He finds money so that businesses can add more to its bottom line. No, he doesn't go after investors. He's not looking for more money from the banks. No, he finds money. That story coming up next on the Business News Hour.